This is HPR episode 2507 entitled, Racket, Nicks, Fractaline and the Sounds of a Hong Kong New Town. It is hosted by Clacky and is about 19 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, it's a triple whammy. It's functional programming, functional package management, and soundscape.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hi, I'm Clacky. I thought I'd like to share with you what I've been doing these last 3 weeks. If you've been listening to my previous HPR episodes, you might know that I was pretty enthusiastic about geeks and NICs and how they could improve the way we work with our operating systems, our computers, and also how we do development. Well, I've been very lucky, and I'm now working professionally with making NICs and Racket a little bit better. There's a grander vision further down the road, but what I'm currently working on is a thing called Racket to NICs, which takes packages made for the Racket ecosystem and creates NICs expressions so that you can depend on them from other NICs packages, or you can take the Racket packages that have native dependencies and express that dependency. So how does this work? There are other already existing importers like this. In Geeks there's even a sort of framework for it. All the importers are called through a front end, through the normal geeks command, which is called geeks import. So you implement your thing under that umbrella. On NICs is a little bit more ad hoc, so each importer is just its own piece of software that happens to spit out NICs expressions. And I haven't looked at all of them, I just looked at Node to NICs, and I'm assuming they are all quite similar. I'm in Racket to NICs, I'm producing something that is quite similar to how Node to NICs works, but it's a bit easier, it's a bit simpler than what Node to NICs does. So in NICs you have this idea of decoupling a sort of generic expression of your NICs package, or derivation as it's called in NICs language, to separate the generic expression of that, to specialize that generic expression into something that is a concrete thing that you can install. So that sounds a bit fuzzy, so let me improve on that description a bit. So what you do is you leave a couple of free variables, parameters, to your generic expression that you can feed in. So you are going to depend on some compiler, some libc, and so on. And you're going to depend on a couple of other packages. And what you do is you just say, these things come in here somehow as parameters to this function that is this expression. So in my case, that means I got the standard environment with compiler and all everything, that the basic stuff that you need to build anything. And then I have Racket, and then I have unzip coming in. And then when you run a normal .nix build in the directory that has this .nix expression in a default.nix file. .nix build takes the defaults in your system, but you can always choose to override them and send in some other parameters. So in my case, I'm trying to figure out how to take the racket packet definitions in the racket system. And the best place to look is, of course, the bundled packages that are included with racket. So what I'm doing is I'm taking racket as a dependency, but I'm sending in racket minimal, which is racket with almost no packages. And then I try to rebuild the standard ones that are usually bundled. So that seems like a decent first test case. And I've already run into a couple of complications with that. So some things were easy and some things needed a bit of tweaking. So in the end, I think it was a good test set. What I've run into is that, for example, there are already in the standard bundles, there's some circular dependencies. So I had to break those apart because, of course, in .nix, when each package is represented as a hash of the package and all its dependencies, if you have a circular dependency, then you get a function that never terminates. So what's the hash of the thing I'm depending on? Well, it's the hash of all these things and the thing it depends on. Oh, that's me. And then you cannot figure out the hash. So that's a big issue. And you can run into this even when you don't think you are. I got some recursion errors from .nix at some point. And I thought, no, I'm not recursing. And then, oh yeah, right. Turns out that this thing here is depending on this thing. So I had to break that apart, and so far it looks like that's working, but so there's some superfluous dependencies between racket doc mainly and other doc packages that are depending on each other circularly. So what I do is, when I encounter one of those things, is just the first packet that I've already interpreted wins, and that depends on the other package, and the other package just has to lose that dependency. So at first I did this only on the .nix side, and then I thought that was working well, but that was just because I wasn't actually installing the packages properly. Once I got the proper package installation working, then it turned out, oh, now they're all complaining that they are depending on this package, which is not present, because in the .nix expression they were not present. So they weren't installed at the time that the depending package was going to be installed. So then I had to move on and go in and edit the racket packet definitions also before installing. But I think when I set out on this project, I never thought I would get this far in 3 weeks. And I have to say that the Racket IRC channel and the Racket mailing list are very pleasant places to be. And I've been greeted with more than one person, is a handful of people. They've been saying, oh yeah, I was hoping someone would do this at some point, but I haven't had the time. And I'm so glad you're doing this. I'm using .nix and I'm using Racket, and I really want this to get going. So yeah, as you know, people will say that, oh, I'll definitely take a look at this at some point. But I know how it is. I also want to take a look at a lot of things, but I think I'm probably going to be the only one doing this for a while. And it's also fun because at the same time, it seems that Chris Lemmer Weber, whom I interviewed earlier about geeks, is now trying to do the same thing on the geek side. So my idea was that when I finish this, get it in some usable shape where we can actually install Dr. Racket itself, the Racket IDE, then I should go on and look at how I could use the experience from Racket to .nix and do a Geeks import Racket as well. So Initially I thought, oh, that's great. Then Chris and I can compare notes and we can both make progress on each side. But it seems that he's really busy and he was just really happy that I'm doing this and hoping that I would do the geek side as well. And yeah, I hope I get to that. But the Nick side is what I'm getting paid for doing, so that's what I will focus on for the moment, until I really know what I'm doing. So, Racket to Nix. What we can do at the moment is, at some point I want to be able to express a package that isn't in the Racket ecosystem, so that you just have your repo with your code in, and you put an info.racket there, and you can just create a Nix expression around that without having to upload your package into Racket. So you can use only Nix for your Rackety stuff. But the stage I'm at now is I'm downloading or getting information from the Racket package system. So the thing, I just send in names to the script now. Not the info Racket packet definition, but just the name, and then it looks in the existing Racket catalogs and finds all the things and their dependencies. So that's like next month or something. Hopefully we'll be able to have our own little development repo. Well, the first use case, of course, is to express Racket to Nix itself, to package that in Nix. When we have that, then I think that's almost a 1.0 release. If we can self-host, then we're in a really great place, and then we can move on from there. So theoretically, that could leave only in Nix, but I'll probably be a good citizen and upload that into the Racket package system as well. But, you know, not every project would need to do that. If you're tinkering on some small thing, you don't want to bother the whole world with eating up namespace and, oh, here's my thing in the package system. Or you could be working on your internal thing in your company, and then, just having your own local definitions and being able to express that in Nix, that's good enough. You're not looking for the global Racket reuse in that case, if it's just your internal thing. So a little bit about where this is going in the long term. So Racket to Nix will be able to take, as I said, a Racket expression, a Racket package and its package definition, and create a Nix package. Well, we have something specific that we want to use this Nix package for, and that's Fractalide. So Fractalide is not something I'm going to be able to explain well in 5 minutes, but I'm going to try to explain it briefly in 2 minutes. So basically what you have is, when you combine code reuse is very hard, and especially across language boundaries. But if you look at the most successful software combination system, where you take little pieces that don't know about each other initially, or they never know about each other, the people who write the software, but you can still combine them. That's the Unix pipes and filters system. So you have a thing, it spits out text, you send it through the pipes, send it into the other thing. And all that thing needs to know is, yeah, here's some text. It doesn't have to know where it came from, because you are the one putting those pieces together. And we want to do that in a more complex setup. So you can have several pins out, several pins in. They can be typed. And this is what people call flow-based program. So you will have, there's an initial system that is written in Rust, and now we're working on Racket, and then there's probably other languages coming down the line. So within Racket, if you write a fractal, as we call it, a fractal is one sort of package within Fractalide. So a fractal has nodes, and those nodes are the things that, that have these inputs and outputs. And you have a node that is written in Racket. You make that a Racket package. So you put the info.racket in there, and that says, yeah, I'm going to need these perfectly normal Racket packages that don't know anything about fractali, but I'm going to need them to build my Racket component, or Racket node. So then your Racket node has access to everything that Racket can do, and then it also has access to the fractalized interfaces. So it will be able to send data to somewhere it doesn't know, and receive things from somewhere it doesn't know. And you'll be able to compose that node with some other nodes in your graph. Could be other Racket nodes, could be Rust nodes. I think the way it's going to look is, if you have several Racket nodes, they're all going to run in the same Racket interpreter and going to just talk like internal Racket data structures to each other. But if you are connecting other language implementations of your nodes, they're going to have to do some inter-process communication with each other. And Stuart, who's the lead on this thing, he has been using Captain Proto, but that's not carved in stone. We're going to see where we end up finally. But we're going to have this thing. You're going to be able to write these nodes, and they're going to be able to connect to each other. You write Nix expressions to connect them, and then you basically run a sort of app container, just like you would in a Java enterprise system or some other, like in Ruby on Rails. You have some service running that provides general services, and then you run your thing in that, and it can talk. In Ruby on Rails, it can talk web, and in our case, it can talk this flow-based programming thing. So we're gonna start with just getting that working on the low level, and then we're gonna build an IDE that allows you to move these things around in real time, in runtime, connect the boxes to each other, draw the lines, and see them interact. But I have no idea how far down the road that's gonna be. That's gonna be a lot of work to get that working in a way that is actually productive. But I think it's really great that someone is working on a new way of doing things that can help improve reusability, probably code quality, and new ways of doing things, and maybe even make it easier for non-programmers to do this stuff. And I'm really happy to be part of it, so I hope I can be doing this for a long time now. I'm doing free software, I'm getting paid, I'm doing really exciting, the future of programming stuff, and I couldn't be in a better place. I'll probably be talking more about this in future episodes. But yeah, it's pretty exciting so far. See you next time. Na 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 na. You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binweb.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. Ba 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 ba
bum 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 bum.